Father, we just take a moment as we open up your word this morning, again, asking for your anointing, asking for your blessing, asking that our hearts and minds would be open to receive your word, asking, Lord God, for you to do something special in our lives. We give you honor, we give you praise this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we began the Advent season looking at the promise of hope. We kind of have a theme going on these 4 weeks of hope, joy, peace, looking at love next week and then into the Christmas story for Christmas Eve and Christmas. And, the hope that's more than wishful thinking. You know, a lot of people have hope in different things, but I'm praying that the hope that God brings is not wishful thinking. It's putting more into it than putting your hope into someone that can let you down, but that Christ would be coming to mankind, for mankind, allowing us to sense the God of the universe, the creator of everything, and instead of hoping in ourselves, hoping that, our sins would be forgiven, and hoping that in someone else that let you down. How many have been let down? How many have put themselves in a position to trust someone and they've let you down? And I'm praying that hope that we have in Christ is much deeper than that. And last week we looked at joy, and if you the scripture just tells us that we can experience God's joy, and that God's joy has nothing to do with circumstances, has nothing to do with what we have or don't have, what we can buy or what we can't buy. But the scripture tells us that it's an inexpressible joy that comes from a relationship with God. And the verse that we've kind of said for 2 weeks has been Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him, so that you may be filled with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You say amen to that this morning? Instead of just chasing after joy, instead of just chasing after these things where we have empty feelings and we get disappointed, but chasing after God and experiencing the joy that God wants us to have, experiencing the joy that comes from knowing that God's got your back. Say amen to that this morning. And then to experience the joy of the Lord in the fullest has to be in a relationship with God. You can't experience joy of the Lord without the Lord. You can't not be in a relationship with God. You cannot experience joy without the Lord. So many people want God without God. So many people want God's blessings without God in their lives. The only way that you can have his blessings and his protection is to be in a relationship. When there's hope this morning, because the God of hope desires to fill us and gives it to us and desires for us to have it. It's a joy that's a gift, not something that you can buy, but a gift from God available to believers. And this morning we're going to look at peace. Again, he tells us that he wants to fill us with all joy and all peace as we trust in him. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ." The peace of God that's offered here, he tells us that we will not fully understand it in human terms. Say amen to that. We're desiring a peace that goes beyond understanding. It goes beyond circumstances. It goes beyond what we can comprehend in our own minds. Because God's God and we're not. Say amen to that. God's God and we're not. We don't have all the answers. He tells us that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He promises to keep our hearts and our minds centered on him, and that he would be the supplier of joy and peace. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Now, I want you to understand something this morning. The Christmas story is a story of God. Do you understand that this morning? It's a story of God where we can see right from the very beginning that a God who has compassion on us has looked at a fallen world and provided a plan of redemption that would involve his coming here. It would involve his miraculous birth. It would involve his persecution. It would involve that he would have prophetic announcements, allowing people to know ahead of time that this is his plan. It's recording it into God's word all the way to the cross, all the way to his death, all the way to his resurrection, his plan, his story. And in his story, there's a happy eternal ending for those that accept the story and the plan, that accept his eternal gift, that accept that he desires to have a relationship, and we accept what he's done. And beyond that, he tells us that he can, in the midst of all of that, if that's not blessings enough, he tells us that we can have joy, and we can have peace, and we can have a heart that's close to God, and we can accept some of the things that we're going through, knowing that this isn't all there is. Our text this morning is two verses. It's taken from John 14. Verse 27, Jesus' own words in your Bible, it's written in red, Jesus' own words here. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Then he goes in chapter 16, verse 33. He says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This morning, I just want to take a moment to take a look at some of the parts of the Christmas story to see if we can really find the peace that God wants us to have. And the first thing that I think you have to do is define peace. What's your definition of peace? Because we already know that peace is something that everybody wants, yet it seems like very few find it. And if you really were going to describe peace, it could be described this way: as tranquility, harmony, or security. And depending on your circumstance, some would say prosperity and well-being. The word peace is in the King James Version of the Bible 429 times. God talks about peace, and there's different kinds of peace. We know that the wrong kind of peace would be false peace. We know that there's an inner peace. We know that the Bible talks about peace with God. We know that the Bible talks about peace with man. So what peace are we looking for, and how can we experience it? Philippians 4:7 refers to the peace of God that transcends all understanding. Most of us know that Paul, in his writings, most all of his letters begins with, "Peace and grace to you from our Father and Lord Jesus Christ." Most of us know that if we're going to have tranquility, we're going to have power and quietness in the spirit, that is going to transcend all circumstances that we go with. The word peace is described in Scripture as a gift from God, and harmony. If God is peace, we can't experience it without him. So it would make common sense this morning that if you're seeking the peace of God, that you have to draw close to God. You have to go after it. You have to experience it. If God is peace, then that means that we need to bask in his peace, and we need to draw close to him, and that the more that we draw close to him, the more peace we're going to experience. So how do we do that? Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, And let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We can come into the presence of God. We can come in and experience this peace that Christ has. We can allow Jesus' promise of death, resurrection, and the purchase of our sins to give us peace. To know that we can't do these things in ourselves. And once you get to that point, and don't, I'm not fooled. I'm there too. At times we don't feel like that. And at times we doubt. And at times we struggle. But God says if we press in, if we would seek after Him, then we can experience the peace that God is wanting for us. Peter says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. When we grow in our understanding, when we understand that God's riches and God's love is towards us and wanting these things for us, we begin to understand that no matter what we're going through, where God says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Even if you're going through a hard time, even if you're struggling at the moment, we understand that we can experience the peace. The Bible says that we can learn His purposes and that He can accomplish these things in our lives. I look at the Christmas story and I look at those shepherds on that miraculous night was symbolic of Jesus Christ being the good shepherd in our lives. And then I look at the sheep, the humble sheep there, and I can look at those as being believers. Because as you look at the sheep, you understand a couple things here. Sheep cannot clean themselves. For all you cat lovers, and I know there's some here, for all you cat lovers, you can understand a cat can clean himself, but a sheep could not. And as believers, we can't clean ourselves up. We can't take the filthiness of sin away. And sheep can't defend themselves from predators. And I thought of this. I thought of skunks and blowfish. Now, don't ask me why I thought of that, but they have a way of protecting themselves. Sometimes I feel like a blowfish, don't you? Those times that you're in danger, you just want to make yourself bigger, badder than you really are. Only I think God has a sense of humor, don't you? Who would ever thought of make a blowfish? Anyways, we can't defend ourselves from spiritual things. We're asking God to protect us from the evil one. We're asking God to bless us during those times of need. And sheep can't find their own food and water for themselves. I know we can work, we make a living, but when it comes to the spiritual things, we can't find water. We can't find that green pasture. And I believe Psalms 23 really describes us as believers depending upon the Lord for spiritual food, spiritual guidance, as well as our daily physical needs. So my question this morning is this. Do you live in the peace of God? Or do you live in self-fear? Or do you live in the promise of Jesus coming should motivate us to live in peace with each other and with God? It should motivate us. We can't wish away the conflict. You know, I'm not standing here trying to paint this picture that if you come to Christ, you'll never have any troubles, because I think it's the opposite. I think when you come to Christ, there is things that are going on. There is temptations. There is all of these things. But that's where Christ says He promises to be with us, promises to help us through it, not to eliminate. There's nowhere in the Bible. I wish it was there. I wish I could stand here and tell you this morning that, you know, if you came to Christ, all of your problems would be eliminated, but it's not there. I can't say that. We can't wish away the conflicts, but we can go to the one that can handle them. We can choose to live our lives different than the world. We can choose to trust Him. We can choose that we're going to accept the peace that He offers us. And I think we miss it sometimes. And one of the ways I think we miss it is we don't understand what Jesus is really trying to bring us. And we try to force it or make it happen on our own, and then we really forfeit the peace of God trying to get the peace of ourselves, the peace that we're trying to create or buy. We're failing to realize that when we come to Christ, He not only becomes our Savior, but He becomes Lord of our lives. And there is a difference there. Do you understand me this morning? That when we're asking Him to be Savior is a profession of faith. But when we're telling Him to be Lord of our lives, it's a surrender. It's the next step, so to speak, that we're allowing God not only to be Lord of our lives, to save us from eternal hell and forgiving us of our sins, but also we're asking Him to be Lord of our lives. And I think a lot of times we when God does a miracle, our response, whether we say it openly or not, is, okay, God, thanks a lot, but I got it from here now. Thanks. Thanks for what you just did. Appreciate it, but I got it now. Instead of allowing God to lead our lives. We wanna pick and choose. And I believe peace just kind of flies out the door sometimes. We need His wisdom to help us in our daily lives. We need His power to be able to overcome the things that are going on. We need Him in our lives to help us through those stressful moments. We need His counsel when the easy way out would be easier, but not right. We sometimes choose just enough Jesus to get by. You say amen to that? We choose just enough Jesus to get by. We never make Him Lord of our lives. And we never get to the point where His peace just flows from us. Isaiah 48:16 says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my counsel, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. See what I'm saying there? See what Isaiah is saying here this morning? Is that we fall a little bit short. We just get enough of Jesus to get by, but we never make Him Lord. And we never allow Him to just provide that peace that He wants to give us. Scripture just points in every direction that we don't get peace by just doing what we please, living our lives the way we want to. It comes with a right standing with God, and it's coming from seeking His face, and it's coming from repenting, and it's coming from turning towards God instead of away from God. I think of this time as you know, they really ought to make a sign that says, surviving the most wonderful time of the year. Isn't that right? I think there ought to be just a sign there. Instead of, you know, 70% off or, you know, buy one, get one free. I think that the sign really ought to say surviving the most wonderful time of the year. Because I realize for some it's joyous and some it's hard. And an article that I read had a couple points, and I never really thought about it till I looked at this article. It said, Joseph and Mary had been planning a wedding until God told them to prepare a nursery. That's kind of good. I never heard it put that way. Joseph was planning on marrying his sweetheart, drawing up plans, carving his marriage bed, and big plans. Mary was planning an elaborate wedding, picking out her china, looking for the perfect lingerie for the honeymoon. Big plans. And this is the part that got me. Can you imagine a 15-year-old Mary going to her 20-something-year-old fiancé and saying, Joe, honey, we've got to talk. I'm pregnant. Joseph really could have blew that. Do you know that? Aren't you glad that he didn't? Aren't you glad this morning? Here's my thought. Aren't you glad that he listened to God more than bad advice that was probably circling around during that period of time? Can you imagine all the good old boys that had some good old advice for him at that time? Where you know, taking the hard road would have been a lot harder than taking the easy road. But it wouldn't have been the right road. Close this. Certain things will destroy the peace of God. Maybe you want to write a couple of these down or just at least remember it. You know, I think the peace of God gets destroyed when we assume that God will give us everything and we don't have to give anything back to God. I'm not talking about your salvation. Your salvation is free. It's a free of the asking. But I'm saying this morning this. If you really want to experience the peace of God, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you a surrender. It's going to cost you that you can't do things your way. Another way that you're going to learn lose your peace with God is thinking that we live in this terrible world that has bad things that happen, that you have this crazy idea that you can live in this world without bad things happening to you, and that you will never be disappointed. Because I'm going to tell you will be disappointed. People will let you down. People have a choice, and sometimes they make really bad choices. And I want you to know that the enemy of peace is worrying. Trust comes when we set our hearts on God and we allow God's peace to overshadow whatever we're going through, to overshadow all of our doubts and all of our fears. God invites us to cast all those doubts and fears on him, and he promises to bring us peace. I've said this before, but I'll tell you again that place that we put Jesus is where peace is. Where we put Jesus is where peace is. And it can come in times of trouble. It becomes a lifestyle instead of a behavior. Say amen to that. It's every day. It becomes a lifestyle that we can live with in the dangers and the unpleasant circumstances because the peace of God is in us. We're not looking for it. It's already there. It dwells within us. Secret place in your heart is where you'll find it. And I'm closing. I got one illustration here to close this morning. And again, it was an article that I was reading that really I think was just perfectly showing the peace of God. It was a story about a 16-year-old girl named Rafka Berry. This girl was Muslim, and she was leaving the Muslim faith, not in Syria, not in Afghanistan, but she lived in Ohio. But she was born from a strict Muslim family where her father said that he would kill her if she left the Muslim faith for the Christian faith. And if you know anything about the Muslim faith, he probably was very serious that he would, or have someone else do it. And my closing thought is this: how does one find peace in that setting? How can one risk his or her life to pursue a faith that others hate? It's only by the grace and mercy of God. It's only by the peace of God. It's only by God giving you the peace that passes all understanding and an inner assurance that no matter what, it's going to be all right. So I don't know what you're up against this morning. I don't know what your week was, I shared my weekend. It wasn't so good, at least for that moment. Peace with God will bring the peace of God. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. I know, Lord God, that maybe they didn't have the day that Becky and I had this weekend, but Lord God, I know that there's things going on in people's lives every day. I'm asking, Lord God, that the peace that only you could bring, that we can't even fathom and understand sometimes, because, Lord God, our circumstance gets out in front of us, and our circumstance just is as big and bold, and all we can see sometimes is that circumstance. I'm asking, Lord God, right now, that we would trust you, surrender to you this morning, and allow the peace of God to flow over us, allowing this Christmas to be a time that we center in on you, allowing our circumstances to be under the captivity and thoughts of Christ, that, Lord Jesus, you would intervene. And we're going to give you honor. We're going to give you praise. We love you this morning. We're trusting you to do the impossible. We're trusting you to make a way where there seems to be no way. We're asking you for finances where we don't know where they're coming from, but that you would pour out from your abundant resources. We're asking you this morning to change people's hearts. That we might benefit from your honor, your glory, your peace, your mercy, your guidance, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.